Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. It all continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 17th. In the year of our Lord, 2015, it's hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. It's incredibly simple. We believe in the checks and balances wisely put in place by the founders, and we believe in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. You say, Sam, it ain't working. My response is, we're not having enough Americans stand together to demand and insist that the checks and balances work. And the founders said, you got a republic if you can keep it. And they meant you got to be eternally vigilant. And most Americans are flat out sidelined and not interested in the solutions. And you're not going to solve it with only a couple of patriots. No matter how hard you want to work, you can't do it alone. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Cosby with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Kurt, I've been down on a lot of the alternative energy projects for quite some time. And you and I have had some debates about this and et cetera, and I've been down on solar programs and I've been down on wind-generated programs and all these new energy ideas I've been quite down on. And it's not that I'm down on the technology or down on the hope or the desire to create new energy alternatives and solutions. I'm completely up on that. Meaning that I agree that we need to get some kind of solutions that would literally take us off the grid. Right? The more natural the solutions, the better. So I support the idea of using sunlight and wind and hydro and et cetera, to generate power. I support the principle. I support the idea. What I reject is the deceptive way we're backing our way into these technologies. In other words, we're not letting the free market reign supreme here. We're not letting these technologies find their ebb and flow of the free market and eventually become valuable or rejected based on the viability thereof, based on cost, based on free market principles at all. And that's the reason that I've been down on these technologies. Back in the day when everybody wanted to put together the power grid, I would have been down on it. Not because I'm against power, but because I believe there's better ways without government control, government subsidies, the list goes on and on. Now, this headline kind of nails my concern, Kurt. Headline says this: worry for solar projects after end of tax credits. It's a huge mainstream press article. Worry for solar projects after end of tax credits. The story is by Diane Cartwell. It's a big old long article. But it talks about, for well over a year now, Kurt, an enormous solar power plant has been humming along in the deserts of Arizona. They say sending out power is needed, even well after sunset. The plant's called Solana, Kurt. And they say it was developed by the Spanish Energy and Technology Company. And believe it or not, it even produces electricity when the sun ain't shining. Most power plants that are based on solar go to zero. In other words, don't produce any power when the sun goes down. But this one, says Brad Albert, he's the resource management director for in Arizona. They call it at Arizona Public Service. Anyway, they say this is incredible.
They call it APS for short down there.
Yeah, good. Now, they caught another mammoth plant going on that uses a similar approach in California. They say despite the, quote, technology's success, these developers are now saying, hey, we don't have any plans to build more of these power plants, Kurt, even though the technology, they say, is viable. Why? That is largely because of what they say is uncertainty surrounding the tax credits worth 30% of the project's cost. Although the subsidy, known as the investment tax credit, is to remain in place by 2016, they say that's not long enough for developers to get through the long litany of securing land, permits, financing, power purchase agreements, etc. So they say it's difficult to start construction of these new facilities until there's, quote, clarity, said Santiago Siege. He happens to be the executive of this publicly traded Spanish company that produces these power plants. They say the difficulty is not because of any shortcomings in the technology. They use, quote, parabolic mirrors that reflect sunlight on pipes, which carry the heat to tanks of salt. They say it can stay there for over 6 hours until the power plant needs the electricity or the power there. And they say it creates smooth variations in output power for renewable sources like solar and wind. Anyway, they go on and talk about these long-term contracts. They'll supply all this power. It's all fantastic. Now listen carefully. Okay? The main solar trade group. All right, Ken Johnson, he happens to be the chief spokesman for the Solar Energy Industries Association. That's the, quote, main solar trade group. He says the group plans to lobby Congress to extend the special tax incentives through and beyond 2016. That's our main priority for this session of Congress. Adding that developers across the solar industry were trying to do as much as possible before the subsidy drops from 30% to 10% by 2017. The existing solar plants have benefited from what they call heavy government support in the form of, quote, 30% tax credits, and on top of that, $1.2 billion in loan guarantees for the Nevada plant alone. Of course, that program is no longer active. But they say as a result of that, utility-scale development, which accounted for almost two-thirds of the nation's solar power installed last year, well, could go away. In other words, the bottom line is this is so heavily subsidized, Kurt. Now, they want to run around and tell you the technology is viable, Kurt. And my response is, if it is, we don't need government subsidies, Kurt. In other words, you'll never, in my opinion, say successfully, well, the technology makes sense if you have government subsidy. Because you know what? You can say anything has value as long as you pump enough money into it. I'll give you an example. We don't need to give any of our fresh water to California or Oregon or Washington, Kurt, or any of those states on the West Coast or the East Coast or the Gulf Coast states, because they got salt water, Kurt, right there. And you say, well, Sam, it's way too expensive to convert that to fresh water. Oh, not if you have government subsidies, Kurt. Now, they say a lot of these companies are starting to put cost reductions into their technology because they know this stipend is going to end. But all I'm telling you is this is the problem that I have, and this is the reason that I've been against these projects. It's not that I don't like the viability of solar or wind or any of the other new technologies coming online. I think that the ideas are fantastic, and I think we need to keep them coming in the free market. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm telling you, we're in trouble when we start to subsidize this stuff.
It is amazing to think about how even with the out-of-control government that we have, where in my lifetime it's, you know, increased, well, you know, like 1,200%, you know, increase. And I'm just talking about taxes, for example. And, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with really regulations and things, but I guarantee those have increased as well. But even with all of that, how technologies, whether it's computer stuff or solar stuff, or and many of the times those are kind of combined, or wind or whatever else, All these things come forward now, you know, in my opinion, things that you've mentioned this before that holds them back many times is somebody manipulating the market. Now, and that's exactly what, you know, an Uncle Sam or an Uncle whatever, Daddy Warbucks with a bunch of cash does, and you'll see it in the medical or the health care market. You see it in the education market. You see it, well, basically, and I don't know of any market it's not in.
And I got a big question when we come back to kind of hammer home the point, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk station, teaming up with Republic Broadcasting and Liberty News Radio.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We have a special seminar for you on Friday, March 27th at the Get Prepared Expo. From 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, spend the day with USA Prepare's senior instructors, Matt Stein and Dr. Richard Allen Miller. There you'll learn about the three major game-over events and their likelihood, and most importantly, what to do about them. Events so powerful that they can end life as we know it. Yes, they're real, and our senior instructors will guide you to safety. This seminar is limited to the first 100 who purchase tickets on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Your tuition for this special seminar is $85. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. This is an in-depth, all-day seminar, and you're encouraged to take notes. Note-taking materials are provided. Food and beverages are available all day at the Get Prepared Expo, Lebanon, Missouri. Getpreparedexpo.com. Getpreparedexpo.com.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so we're talking about energy, we're talking about solar, we're talking about wind, we're talking about all these wonderful options. I'm not against those solutions. And if they can find their way in the free market, I support them 1,000, 1,000,000%. However, when a headline comes out that says, worry for solar projects after end of tax credits, what you got is the government giving tax credits of up to 30% of the cost of a project. That's huge dollars. Then on top of that, they're providing loan guarantees, Kurt. In other words, not only might you not get a loan in the private sector because the technology is not viable enough, for people aren't convinced of its stability and success likelihood, etc. In other words, the risk-reward analysis of private sector doesn't bear out or bear fruit. Then government says, we'll guarantee it. Well, the government's lost literally billions and billions and billions of dollars on these projects already. Now, here's the point. Back in the day, Kurt, and this precedes my question, by the way. Back in the day, when we got the power grid, the government said, by golly, this electricity can be so valuable for people. So it's so essential that we're going to have the government subsidize it and centralize it and control it. So everybody put their eggs in that basket, and now you have this, quote, cheap, accessible electricity. However, I submit to you that's a misnomer because you can't really define how cheap it is when it's been subsidized for literally decades and decades and decades, almost, well, over a century, I guess, right?
But now, it's so much like so many of the things, you know, whether it's right. The metro system, the Bay Area Transit, so many of these things are the same way. Just education, they tell you, oh, it's only $3,000 a kid, you know, and then you dig into it and you find out, oh, man, you can't even believe it.
You couldn't be more right.
It just goes on and on.
And that's why I would reject these government transportation systems if we have to have the government at the center of it all. But nevertheless, here's the point. Back in the day when we were going towards the grid and we said that's the fastest, best way to produce electricity, what if we had not done that? And what if we had said you've got to look for natural resources, wind, solar, etc., to develop some of this stuff? Or you've got to look for other ways to develop electricity that would be cheaper, more effective. We might have created ways, Kurt. In fact, we certainly would have. I don't know how fast. But we could have created ways to decentralize and ways to simplify, and technology could have brought to bear. Right now, what we've done is since electricity was so cheap, so abundant, if you will, so ubiquitous, we created these very power-hungry devices. I mean, a computer just sucks power to the tune of $15 a month or $20 a month alone for electricity, just a resource hog, to say the least. Same thing with your stoves or anything that produces heat. It's very taxing. Okay, we would have created two things. One, technology to be off the grid and decentralize our electricity desires. Number one. Number two, battery technology would probably be a lot further along than it is now. Right now, because we don't really need batteries for much, battery technology has been stagnant and hasn't really improved a whole lot, not at least compared to other options. Third, just imagine if we decentralized and had better battery backup, we would have been by necessity required to create items that didn't take such an electricity requirement, Kurt. In other words, now they're saying, well, buy a new smart washing machine or a new smart dryer, a new smart this or that, because golly, it uses a lot less power. I'm convinced we would have been, by the force of necessity, created devices that used much less power in the beginning. And somehow there would have been a sweet spot in the free market, Kurt, of devices that need less power, batteries that could take care of power, decentralized way to produce power, and we could have had a much better outcome than this subsidized, manipulated, now we're in a box scenario that government always creates. Now you say, Sam, well, it's too late. That's been 100 years in the making. I agree. So I don't bring it up because we can go backwards. I bring it up because now they're trying to do the same thing with the internet. I bring it up because now they're trying to do the same thing with wind and solar. And that's where we need to jettison the mistakes of the past and look towards the future with solutions that have viability, Kurt, that have free market-based approaches, that do not have government subsidies and government manipulations or perversions of the market to generate outcomes that may not be the most advantageous. That's the whole reason I bring it up, is history repeats itself. Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past. Let's forge forward for the future with a better plan. And so when they say worry for solar projects after the end of tax credits, I say let's jettison these tax credits ASA yesterday. And now let's find better ways. If this technology is as viable as they say it is, certainly the private sector, if there's enough of a reward, Kurt, remember it's always a risk-reward analysis. If there's enough of a reward and the risk is minimal, trust you me, there's going to be private sector entrepreneurs that are going to be just all over themselves to back this kind of an opportunity that could generate them plenty of cash. The real question becomes, is there too much risk and not enough reward? If that's true, then by the very nature of the free market, the technology or the capability isn't good enough. It should go by the wayside. It should not be forced implemented via government manipulation. On the other hand, if they could take that technology, Kurt, and find a way to decrease the costs of implementation, find ways to make that technology even more viable, instead of storing electricity for 6 hours, maybe 12 hours, and or doing so cheaper, and or doing so on a smaller micro scale to where you and I might put one in our backyard, or whatever they need to do, Kurt, to tweak that technology to become viable in the free market, government if we're not very careful, is going to act as the deterrent to getting that done. Well, it's not necessary anymore. Don't got to work on electricity. It all comes from the government centralized subsidized grid. Golly, now we can just have devices that just use as much electricity as we want. There's no desire to preserve or innovate because, golly, government saved us all. That's the gargantuan mistake that I want to really reject and avoid, Kurt. This idea that we can use wind and solar and other opportunities for technology to bring to bear for our electricity needs. Incredible opportunity. We just ought not screw it up. That's all I'm saying. But maybe global warming, Kurt, maybe the temperature getting warmer and warmer could produce electricity. Denver records first 70 degree January temperature in 6 years. I guess the earth is just warming up, Kurt.
Well, and you've got these instances you mentioned about, in some of these solar plants where they're actually producing electricity even at night. And at least some of the ways I've heard of that is during the day when they've got, additional power being produced, they'll literally run generators that basically produce steam, force it down into some kind of underground cavern or whatever. So then they can let this steam come back up during the night to run those generators and continue to run those, increase the power. It's just amazing what could be done, ladies and gentlemen, even what is done with the current system we got. And when you compare it to what would be done without the government meddling and with a proper role of government in its place, man, it's incredible.
You're right about that, Kurt. It's an amazing opportunity. The founders were entrepreneurial, a big time, Kurt. And I believe that that's kind of one of the great keys that America brought to the table was this entrepreneurial idea. Instead of just working for some big corporation or some big organization that made you slave 16 hours a day, 7 days a week or whatever else, you could literally chart your own destiny, become your own man, so to speak, Kurt. George Washington was kind of one of those, right?
That's right. The headline from the spectator.org, A Bigger Perspective, Celebrating George Washington's Entrepreneurship. And then the subheadline, His Greatness is Never Appreciated Enough. Now, they show a picture of he and Lafayette at Mount Vernon sitting out on the back porch where we sat and did one of our broadcasts. Just impressive to think about it. And then it talks about in the article how many different entrepreneurial efforts Mr. George Washington did. A businessman, they say, that built an enterprise with international reach. He opened a mill that ground 278,000 pounds of Brandon flour annually. In the 1790s, late in his life, he built one of the nation's largest whiskey distilleries. I mean, the guy was an entrepreneur as well as a guy that didn't want to be king.
Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable live on your favorite talk station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We're talking about the founders, ladies and gentlemen, and they were entrepreneurs big time. One of the pieces to the American dream and the American genius was this idea that instead of working in the mines or whatever, you know, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, you could become your own man, your own boss, your own destiny, your own solution, your own provider, and you could become somebody and do something. And it was one of the great, great things that America had to offer. A bigger perspective, celebrating George Washington's entrepreneurship. Kurt, this is kind of what I'm talking about. I'm convinced that where would we be had we not let government dabble in transportation? I shouldn't say dabble, I should say control. Transportation, education, energy. You know, you got the energy department that was supposedly going to make it so you didn't have wild swings in the cost of fuel, or that you didn't have fuel shortages or outages. And, you know, what has the energy department done? You look at this and you say, where would we be, Kurt, if we didn't have government subsidized utility called electricity? A lot of people would believe, man, we'd be back in the dark ages, Kurt. You just, be around your fire, your campfire, and that's all you'd do. And I don't agree with any of that, Kurt. I think we'd be much further ahead. I think technology would be less expensive. I think we would have devices that didn't require as much use of electricity, because electricity would have been harder to get. Therefore, you're going to make a device that uses electricity much more frugally, kind of an idea. I believe we could have had a better world by far. Now, some would say, well, Sam, you don't even know that. How can you know that? And my response is, I don't know that in this exact case. I don't have data to prove it because, well, we've had government manipulate their way into so much of it that it's hard to really demonstrate by study or by evidence a comparison. However, I will say this. We know from experience, whenever government's involved, innovation shuts down. They say necessity is the mother of invention. In other words, whenever government, look, you're not even going to try to figure out the electricity problem when the government pipes it in, virtually subsidize it low cost for you, Kurt, almost free. Why would you work on a better way to produce electricity? Why would you work on a device that uses less electricity? Why would you? And so we kind of get it back ourselves into this self-destructive idea that, in my opinion, shuts down innovation and real solutions and the real entrepreneurial spirit of America, Kurt.
Well, you couldn't be more right, Sam. And, you know, as you look at, for example, George Washington's lifetime, as far as I know, they didn't have any oh, what would you call them? Any subsidies going on to, you know, help him make sure he could produce flour? They didn't have any communication or transportation opportunities, or, you know, and I put that in quotes, but they really did. They, you know, I mean, they had freedom. They had horses, they had wagons, they had, and they moved forward, and we could do the same things today. And we still do it in spite of, not because of, in my opinion, the governments we live under.
You're right. And if the governments are more tyrannical, it'll be even harder to do it. If the governments back off and deregulate, simplify, and downsize, and then our likelihood of us doing this is much greater. I'll give you a quick example to make the point, Kurt. Back in the days of the Civil War, we had what were called the hemp bale battles, and they made hemp. Hemp was used for a lot of things. Hemp can be used for clothing. It can be used for a variety of things. In fact, when you sit down on your car seat, by the way, it's likely that hemp is inside that car seat that you sit on. I don't mean a child's car seat. I mean the seat in your car, okay? And we don't produce it in America. We have to import it for our vehicles, Kurt, sad to say. Nevertheless, here's the point. It's not THC. It's not getting stoned. It's not pot, okay? It's a different strain of the plant that's used. You can make clothing out of it. You can make rope. You can make all kinds of things. Well, Kurt, just imagine you can burn it, too. I don't know if you know that. But just imagine if you could create hemp-fed power generation power plants that would be local, that would be either in your own backyard and or on a farm and or on a city block that could generate electricity. There are so many options, Kurt. And every year you could have absolutely a new hemp crop. You could have plenty of this stuff to burn, providing fuel to generate electricity. There's so many ways we could go about this, Kurt, that it's beyond imagination. And I just threw one off the top of my head. But think about the entrepreneurial spirit and what we could really have and do and become an American. Now, well, there is one good news. Folks are starting to slow down, Kurt, and think about stuff a little more, aren't they?
Well, they are. Yeah, the headline from the boys at LA Times, and they rarely have much to really offer, in my opinion. But in this case, they say that, hey, meditation is booming as people are seeking a way to slow down. And what they're really doing, Sam, is they're finding that, hey, man, the kind of the old idea that says, hey man, the old getting and spending and all that kind of stuff, and participating in the rat race is really for the rats, not for, you know, the good folks. They say that they've got hospital executives and managers and all this kind of stuff, and they're realizing that they, you know, it shows them all in a picture of sitting around meditating with the you know, kind of a darker room during a class. They call it Unplug. It's a place, I guess. I wonder if you'll see these around, you know, right with your Subways and your Wendy's. You'll see an Unplug studio. But they call it a new meditation studio. And they say these founders of these institutes, they say, is about as far from woo-woo, I guess, as the spectrum allows. And they say it's a sign that meditation has snaked its way into every sector of our lives. But bottom line is people, you know, they do want to get in touch with, well, I guess you could say real good feelings and that kind of thing. And many of it, many of those things, you know, in my opinion, comes from your religious training and your family, you know, things like that. But it's interesting. I wonder if you'll see these meditation shops popping up where you can go in and get a little bit of a, I don't know, slow down.
Well, and the desire to slow down, Kurt, I reward and support and believe in. And if meditation means to think about your life and to slow down and to let God guide your thoughts and your eventual actions, I think it's a good idea. But my concern when they start to talk about medication or meditation starts to become a medication discussion. Are you going to medicate to meditate? Are you going to meditate and cogitate on what, Kurt? Are you going to focus on God and his love for you and for your family and that the God put together the fundamental unit of society called the family, to bless us all, and that God is the author of liberty, and that if you keep the commandments of God, your ability to protect life, liberty, and property is much increased. As you spend your days promoting God, family, and country in your life and to those around you. If meditation really relates to the right things and turning towards God, then I think it's a wonderful thing. If we want to meditate and eventually use that to enhance sex, if we want to meditate with an idea to somehow have out-of-body experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I would simply say that it's being used as the Satan's tool, Kurt, and we better be very careful indeed. So I'm not against the idea to slow down. I'm for it. But I'm also concerned if we're not very careful, what you'll do is you'll turn this meditation stuff into a new age quest, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Their lips are, near me, but their hearts are far from me, says God. Kind of an idea. We need to be very careful that we're genuine in our efforts, that we really are seeking that which has real value, Kurt.
Good point. I guess these places, they call them unplugs, or maybe that's the company called Unplug. They say, we're all overstimulated. It doesn't matter whether you are 3 or 93. People are not going to the bathroom without their iPhones. And if they tell you they are, they're lying, she said. We need a place to take a time out. That's a lot of good.
Do they talk about what their intent is with this meditation, Kurt?
Well, as far as I can see, they're just basically saying, hey, man, you got to, check out, kind of breathe and enjoy life. And, there's a lot of good that can be done there. And like you said, they can, of course, take it the wrong way. But, they mentioned the Shaolin Temple in China. They say the people like that, many of them have learned how to live life and live it well. And many of the times it doesn't mean embracing our modern society as it is. It means basically stepping back and hurry up and slow down, I guess is what they say.
Again, I'm for that, slowing down, and I'm for pondering about your life, and I am for, meditation on the right principles and right things. But I guess I'm saying if you're not very careful, that thing can go astray. And it can do so fast. And so you just got to make sure that you remember that God is in his heaven and he's the author of liberty. And it's very simple. If we keep his commandments, his guidelines for stability and success and safety, and then we're going to be blessed and good things are going to happen. And if we don't, we're in trouble. It's a very simple method, but it is all linked to the sacred holy cause of liberty. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the yellow pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, people are sick of cable and satellite TV. It just costs too much, man. It's full of all kinds of channels you don't want. And people have been sick of it for a long time, Kurt, but there's been no real alternatives. In fact, people are saying, hey, can you make the channels available a la carte? I just want certain channels. And, oh, no, contractually we can't do that, et cetera, et cetera. And they bundle things in such a way to where you can never get the channels that you want unless you pay the highest amounts, et cetera. It's all manipulated to the point where people are sick of it. Well, then a lot of these new streaming services came out. But the new streaming services, Kurt, were not live enough, if you will. It wasn't live TV shows. When I say live, I mean the way the mainstream sends them to you. Some of them weren't live because they were seasonal shows, but nevertheless, either live TV or fresh content, so to speak, enough for most folks. And so it wasn't that viable, but it's becoming more viable every single day, Kurt. And you got Netflix that, you know, makes all kinds of movies available, and then you got Amazon On Demand, which makes even fresher movies available. And anyway, the list goes on and on. Well, now there's another huge step in this direction. And I think it's out of necessity. The new media has taken center stage, folks, and these people don't have a choice. Look, people aren't signing up for satellite and cable. The numbers are dwindling. It's just too expensive. People don't want the long-term contracts, and most of the channels they've got, people don't want anyway. However, Roku players and Apple TV and other players and devices have taken off big time. Well, now there's a new service that's upping the ante once again, Kurt. It's called Sling TV, and Sling TV looks to liven up streaming video parties, is the headline. Mike Snyder, USA Today, has the details. And I guess the Internet Dish Network TV solution has begun operations a couple weeks ago. And if you pre-register on sling.com, you're in. Anyway, bottom line is, Kurt, it's got a bunch of live channels. They call them live linear feeds, just so you get an understanding of the real-time nature of the delivery. And anyway, the bottom line, Kurt, is this thing costs $20 a month. And in the past, you know, the mostly on-demand episode stuff is there, but it also adds this live TV stuff. And Hulu Plus was a step in the right direction as well, because they made airings from ABC, NBC, Fox and other channels, but again, it was kind of the on-demand idea. Now this is more and more live streaming TV called Sling TV, Kurt, Dish Network, $20. You download the Sling TV app onto your device, whether it's an iOS or an Android tablet or one of the other players, and you got it going on, Kurt. People say that it's fantastic. You got to have a good internet connection for it, but it's a lot less expensive. They say with a Roku player, all you got to do is click on the update and update your software. And then before you know it, the Sling channel's there. And you're good to go, Kurt. Anyway, I don't think that the mainstream press TV groups want to do this. But I think they're forced to. It becomes now a solid online internet delivered service that's on par. A sensible streaming alternative, if you will, to today's cable and satellite mega bundles. There you have it, Kurt. I thought that
well,
was
well, it's pretty impressive, you know, and that's an example of the free market in America. It's an example of somebody realizing, look, you know, the companies are just charging way too much, so let's give the customer what the customer wants. I mean, just imagine that kind of idea, Sam.
It's marvelous.
You know, we were talking about George Washington, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, his birthday is coming up. I think it's the 22nd of February. But, of course, he's been thrown into the idea of President's Day. But one of the things that was interesting to me when I was studying a little bit about this BigSpectator.org story on his entrepreneurship, they said on his 2,000-acre Mount Vernon estate, or whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of stuff that went on there. I guess one of the first things he did was to abandon the most common cash crop in Virginia. That was tobacco. He worried that the tobacco was hurting Mount Vernon's soil, and he saw the need to diversify to avoid unprofitable returns. Now, in these days, all they do is just submit to the federal government. They need more cash and then just stay with the same thing. But the good, honest farmers don't do that.
Well, then you get paid cash not to grow crops too, Kurt. You just let yourself sit for a while. Compliments of your government.
Good point. Good point. But I guess Washington chose wheat as his main cash crop, and he pioneered the integration of related enterprises. He became a manufacturer of two products from his crop, flour and distilled whiskey. Pretty interesting, huh, Sam?
Yeah, that whiskey would be good to run your car on if we, you know, didn't back.
Well, that's right.
Gas.
There's uses for it.
Engines. Hold
you
on,
know,
Kurt.
Cleaning things and stuff like that.
You could put whiskey in your vehicles, Kurt, and instead of having the government gas-tuned vehicles by fiat and by mandate by government, you could have vehicles that could run on virtually anything almost, Kurt, if you left it to the free market. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was agreeing with you. You know, places like Brazil, you know, already use alcohol in huge ways to basically run their vehicles. But, you know, it's just interesting to see now on this idea of giving customers what they want, Sam. It was interesting. I spoke with my pals there at ClearPlay. And, you know, this is a group or an operation that, ladies and gentlemen, what they do is they realize that some people don't want their, quote, entertainment with certain things in them. And so they've worked at, I guess you could say, editing. Now they're working in the streaming world. They basically make it so that if you want to watch a particular thing stream it, you know, then they redirect you to, like, if I remember right, Google has a choice where you can either rent or buy the movie, and then it brings you back to their site, and they literally stream it to you filtered, if you will. So it's neat to see that companies move forward even when our governments so many times are, I guess you could say, in the way, huh, Sam?
I hear that. And if you guys want to hear about the ClearPlay solution or check it out more in detail, clearplay.com, just like it sounds. And they've got a lot of modern stuff going on. They're doing a good job. You can download filters, and then you can basically watch anything you want. And it'll basically filter the content for you and prevent the sex and the smut and the swearing and the, you know, et cetera. They're tremendous. They got a lot of products, Kurt. You know, you thought with the DVD players not being as used as often that this thing would go away. But no, they've managed to deliver what people want, Kurt. Thousands of movies available now, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said so many times, Sam, we would prefer that the movie not have that in the first place. And there are plenty of those kinds of movies. You know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, so many of the good Christian movies, that kind of thing. But at least our hats are off to anybody trying to, I guess you could say, make a difference in this world we live in, whether they're in the solar world or wind power or entertainment or education or, you know, I mean, you just go on down the list. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, good point. Well, Kurt, to wrap up this broadcast, I guess the New York Times is in the news. World Net Daily covering the New York Times. You got some strange people coming out of the woodwork, huh, Kurt?
Well, it's kind of unusual, but they've got a columnist at the New York Times, and you wouldn't expect a New York Times. Typically, it's going to be liberal like crazy, but they're agreeing that Judge Roy Moore, the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, well, he's right when he says that the probate judges there in Alabama are not part of the case where the so-called judge that has said that, hey, the Alabama guys have got to accept homosexual marriages down there. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And they do quote Liberty Counsel founder Matt Staver, our buddy there, as saying the, well, the judge went too far. Yeah, that's all part of the, you know, that whole judicial, legislative, and executive, those separations of powers that are so necessary to our constitutional republic.
And, Kurt, you've got to give the New York Times a little bit of credit. At least they're admitting the truth. Where's the rest of the mainstream press to hammer this home and talk about it all day long? Instead of beating up Roy Moore on every turn, why don't they admit the truth now that, hey, this battle is far from over, and this battle, you know what? Roy Moore isn't just some whacked out guy with, you know, with his head in the clouds. There's literally case precedent and reality for what Judge Roy Moore talks about. And the mainstream press doesn't want people to know that, Kurt.
Well, you're exactly right. And one of the things that's pushing them to do that, in my opinion, is the new media taking center stage. So the New York Times doesn't want to be left farther in the dust.
All right, there you have it. That's a wrap, I guess, huh? Wow. All right, we'll be with you live tomorrow. Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use always. James Edwards, the political cesspool talk show man, or I should say host, will be with us. Author of Racism, Shamacism for the second hour tomorrow. All kinds of news the networks refuse to use coming your way. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to turn your phone into a radio? It's simple and free. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. If you want to listen to us on the Roku player, live and on demand, look for the Liberty News Radio channel under the special interest section. For Sam and Kurt, we declare, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can restore America. You're going to help? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.